welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message entitled, Living the Life of the Spirit. What does that mean? How are we to do that? And it's more, beloved, than simply going to church once or twice a week. It's a daily, continuing experience of relationship with the Lord Jesus in prayer and reading the Word and in living our lives so others may see Christ in us. You know, the Word tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Word is clear on things of what we're to do and not to do, but I believe it's also wrong to portray our Christian walk in such a way as to bring a reproach on the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. My own heart's desire and prayer for the church today is that we might be saved and delivered from the traditions of men, the denominational barriers, the worldliness, the things that divide us, all the things that have drained us of our spiritual strength. You know, one of the burdens on my heart lately, I'm in a new area. You know, I moved to Caldwell recently, and so I'm listening to local radio stations and also in my contacts with ministers and those who are walking with the Lord. I've been so concerned that I'm hearing increasingly a judgmental spirit about other Christians. I hear those on broadcasts who are bashing Christian ministers and putting them down and saying what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're teaching is incorrect. And beloved, I believe, as I, you know, have been waiting before Lord, that I believe such kind of behavior really grieves the heart of God. And the things that have separated us, the things that have created the denominations over the centuries, is our personal understanding and interpretation of Scripture. That's what has brought the division in the Christian body. And beloved, I believe that if we can agree on the very basics, who Jesus is and what He came to do, that's the important thing, and let God take care of the rest. You know, I think that's perhaps one of the greatest griefs to the Lord is the way we can judge one another. And I've, you know, trust me, I have been around some ministers who believe, for example, that if you're not baptized in water in the name of Jesus and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, beloved, that's not my understanding of the Scripture. I believe it's all about our relationship with the Lord. After all, look at the thief on the cross. All he did in those moments as he was approaching his own death, he had a realization in his heart, in his spirit, of who this Jesus is, was next, hanging next to him. And what did Jesus say? Did he have to go through some Christian religious protocol? No, he just said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Beloved, I would like to see us as a body to begin to pray for one another. You know, that as I was just reading a very familiar passage, that, you know, we have a form of godliness, we deny the power of God. What is the power of God? And to be honest, I never thought about it that much. I thought, well, it's, you know, being filled with the Spirit, walking in the authority and dominion that God has given us. But what really is the power of God? I believe the power of God was demonstrated on the cross of Jesus Christ. The real power of God is the love of God. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. And I believe there have been so many people, sinners and Christians alike, who have been so hurt by the self-righteous, pharisaical attitude of others in the church. You know, for example, I mean, I'm in terms of my belief, I believe that we are saved by the blood of Jesus through faith, through by grace. It's not of our works. I also believe in the full gospel that the Lord has given us an example as we look in the chapters of Acts, how the early church was. We're to be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence and speaking in tongues. But we are not to come against those who do not believe the same we do or do not have the understanding. As an example, what is the protocol? Well, it's given very clearly in Acts, the 19th chapter. It says when Paul went to Ephesus, he said in that second verse, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said, "Unto what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." In other words, and Paul goes on to explain, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So when they heard that, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when he laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And what many well-meaning preachers don't realize is that if we look at that first verse, the Word of God already calls them disciples. Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. And so you see, those of us who may have a certain understanding or greater revelation of the Scripture must not point accusing fingers at others. We need to come together in the spirit of love. Another example is found in the preceding chapter, Apollos. It says he was a Jew born in Alexandria. This is verse 24. He was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit and spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But he only knew John's baptism, the gospel of repentance, if you will. And then it says Aquila and Priscilla heard, and they took him to themselves, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And so, beloved, the power of God is God's love, where we understand that when anyone, Romans is very clear in the 10th chapter, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And let's leave the ordering of God's house, his church, his body, to the head of the church, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us to walk together in love. And the word, are we to just, you know, slide over sin? Of course not. The word is clear in terms of what is sin and what is not. We're not to compromise. We're to stand firm in a walk in submission to the Lord and holiness before him, and to walk in fear and reverence of the Lord. But what I'm talking about is this form of godliness that denies the very love of God, that has the same spirit as the Sadducees and Pharisees. Living the life of the Spirit, it's not an instant eradication of the flesh, or it's not another work of grace. Grace is undeserved, and it's unearned. It's the love of God in manifestation. God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." But experiencing the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is the power that enables us to live the Scriptures. Hear me now, beloved. Hear my heart. Anyone who's washed in the blood of Jesus, who's born again by the Holy Spirit, he's my brother or sister. We're part of the body that makes up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One part of this body is no better than another, regardless of the position or whatever spiritual experiences they may have. One of the downfalls of many Christians is their spiritual pride. the Apostle Paul certainly held a high position, and he had many, many supernatural experiences with God. But what did he say? He never set himself above any other of the saints. In fact, he considered himself the least of the brethren, the chiefest of sinners. Beloved, when we repent and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have eternal life, according to John 3:15-16. We make an outward demonstration of our confession through water baptism. For the Apostle Paul tells us we're baptized into Christ and into his death. That's Romans 6:3. And we are by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, all baptized into one body. The genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is not the baptism into the body of Christ. As Christians, we're already saved. We're already in the body of Christ, but there simply is an empowering, the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. We find the Holy Ghost was prophesied to be given, poured out in Joel. That's chapter 2:28-30. And Peter verified this very prophecy of Joel on the day of Pentecost. He said in Acts 2:16-19, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Beloved, we're living in a glorious time, a time before the soon return of Jesus. And he said that he's going to build his body, and he's given fivefold ministry that we can come into the unity of the faith. And the only way we're going to do that is by having the mind of Christ and the love of God in our hearts. Well, I could certainly share more, but I need to stop. My time has come to an end, and I thank you for joining me today. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. And if you have prayer needs, I do invite you to write. I'll pray personally for you and send back whatever the Lord gives, which I know will be a blessing. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.